AM 1180 WFYL. It is a new day with your host, Kathy Barnett. So excited to have you here with me. A brand new day. Let me give you that call-in number. It is 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. You're going to want to call in today because we have a number of just really hot topic kind of topics to talk about today. And so I really want your input on all of these topics that we're going to be discussing because that just makes the conversation a little bit more fluid. So welcome. It's a new day on 1180. That number once again is 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. What's in the news headlines today? Well, we have the last week, of course, we had the second presidential debate. The polling numbers have come out on that, so we'll talk about that a little bit as well today. We also have the Pope is coming. The Pope is coming. So we are really excited about that. I know many people are very excited about that. He will be here in Philadelphia on, I think, Saturday. Yes. Thank you, Russell. But the Pope is coming, so I think he'll be here on Saturday, leaving New York. So we'll talk about that as well. And then, hey, is it a clock or is it a bomb? No one really seems to know. No one, i.e., the general American public, doesn't seem to. Well, let me correct that. The elites in our culture, the kings and queens, the emperors and such, seem to not know if it's a clock or a bomb. So they're siding on the side of it's a clock. But for the majority of Americans, our eyes are clearly telling us it looks very much like a bomb. So really, really, really interesting. And also, pro Ben Carson fundraising is spiking after his Muslim comment. So he is receiving money hand over fist. He's apparently become quite popular since last week's debate over his Muslim comment in that Muslims should not hold office. So again, get ready to call us 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. I want to hear your thoughts on everything that I just talked about and plus so much more. So again, get ready to call us. But let's look at the presidential polls because I thought that was kind of interesting. Because if you're watching mainstream media, boo, I don't know if we have a boo button. But if you're listening to mainstream media, you would think, Russell, you would think Carly Fioroni is like skyrocketing and just crushing all of her opponents left and right. And that is so not the case. She's not crushing. She has improved in the polls, but she's not necessarily crushing. So as of Sunday, the CNN poll that came out, Donald Trump it was leading at positive 9 points over the number two person, the number two person at that time being Fiorina at 15. So Trump had a rating of 24, Fiorina at 15, Carson at 14. So it's not as if, okay, well, now we have our two contenders, Trump and Fiorina. Everyone else can go home now. No, Carson is right there at 14. But again, if you're listening to mainstream media, you think she just is blowing away all competition and she's the number two contender. Well, now you had Dr. Ben Carson making his comment about his infamous Muslim comment. And now he is seeing a spike in his numbers or a lot of money for one, as I mentioned a little bit earlier. So on Tuesday, yesterday, a new polling came out, the PPP polling, public policy polling, and Trump is still holding at 24. His lead has shrunk from a positive nine, to a positive seven, with Carson being right behind him once again at 17 and Fiorina at 13. So again, these numbers are fluid. They're going to continue to modulate up and down and up and down. We'll kind of figure out where everything lands. But I just thought that was kind of interesting as I was looking at the polling numbers last night. If I'm listening to mainstream media, Carly is hands down, the second contender in the Republican presidential polls. And that's not so much the case. You know, it's always interesting when you start looking at the numbers for yourself. So anyway, now, did she have a really good showing? Yes, she had a really good showing at the second presidential debate. Hands down, she was kind of a non-issue, kind of a moot individual in the whole presidential debate. And then she comes on stage. She is poised. She seems passionate. I do have to say, it looked like a little bit of the wind left her sail when Trump and others started chiming in on her very dismal job performance, i.e. she got fired from Hewlett Packard as the CEO, and then she had a very dismal job performance at Lucent as well. And I thought it was interesting that for her retort back to them on both of those, whether Hewlett and Lucent, was it was someone else's fault. They didn't like me. Had nothing to do with me. They didn't like me. And yes, I know Wall Street Journal came out with an apology letter from one of the board members at Hewlett, citing people just didn't like her kind of thing. So, but nonetheless, I thought a little bit of the wind left her sail when that came up and she started trying to defend it. She kind of simmered a little bit. She wasn't as boisterous as she was at the beginning of the debate, but nonetheless, people know who she is and people like her. So I thought that was kind of interesting. What do you guys think? Give me a call. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. On what do you think about the presidential polls, the second presidential debate, just overall, what is your reading? What are people saying to you? What are your neighbors talking about? How are they going about judging, or selecting who our next president should be, or our next representative from the Republican Party? Also, I thought another person who had a really strong showing was Marco Rubio. I thought he was, on the Sunday polling, the CNN Sunday polling, Marco actually moved up considerably. He had a polling result of 11. So that's really good. Being mindful that his initial polling was somewhere like in the single digit threes and fours. And so he went up to 11 on Sunday. On yesterday's poll, he's number 8. Yeah, so him and Cruz are tied for the fourth position, beating out Bush. Wouldn't that be something if Bush just goes away? I think Bush is holding out on his fellow elite, kind of picking him to be the presidential candidate, although the polls are not showing that at all. But, you know, still in a very firm position is Donald Trump. And like I said, Rubio, I felt that he had a very Reagan-esque demeanor. He showed passion. He showed focus. He was very clear. He was speaking like a true conservative. And that was very interesting, very enticing. So I thought he had a very strong showing. Again, Carly, I thought she did really well, primarily because, you know, no one really was taking her seriously. In the first debate, she didn't even make the cutoff for the main stage event. This time she did. And so I thought I thought she did really wonderful coming up on that stage and introducing herself to the public. Trump, I'm really surprised that he is still leading by such a strong spread. Right now, the spread has gone from positive 9 to 7. A positive 7. And I'm still kind of surprised because I thought, as I've said to you guys before, I like Trump like anyone else likes Trump. I think he's really funny. But He's just headlines. He's just headlines with very little, if any, substance. And on many of the crucial issues of today, he said, I have a plan for that. And you're going to, I don't have it written yet, but I'm going to. And when I produce it, you're going to like it. But very little substance. And I thought that showed very clearly that he's a man of very little real substance. And yet he is still trending, very popular, among the voters. So very interesting. So nonetheless, we had 23 million viewers tune in last week to watch it. So that's encouraging. People are at least interested. We have the next Republican debate Wednesday, October 28th. It's going to be aired on CNBC. We have a Democrat debate coming up in October. That's just kind of fluctuating. Sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. So that's going to be real interesting as well. Stay with us. I have a guest in the studio. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. And then we'll talk about the Pope. We'll talk about the bomb. The clock that the student brought in. Stay with us and we'll be right back. You're listening to A New Day. It's A New Day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999, on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Attention baby boomers, seniors, and caregivers. Plan now to attend the 19th Annual Lancaster County 50 Plus Expo, September 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim. Admission and parking are free. More than 100 exhibitors will provide information, door prizes, health screenings, and live entertainment. The 50 Plus Expo will also feature a health and wellness area sponsored by WellSpan Health, flu shots provided by Kmart, and a special presentation from former White House chef John Mueller. Plus, be sure to check out the presentation of RSVP of the Capital Region's Most Valuable Volunteer Award, honoring a senior volunteer in your community. The 50 Plus Expo is brought to you by OLP Events and the Lancaster County Office of Aging. Sponsors include 50 Plus Senior News, Ameriprise Financial, Blue Ridge Communications, WFYL, and others. The Lancaster County 50 Plus Expo, September 23rd at Spooky Nook Sports. For more information, call 717-285-1350 or visit 50plusexpopa.com.
Listening to once again, it's A New Day with your host Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. And here's the call in number 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And in the studio with me, we have our current commissioner for West Norton, Commissioner Stephen Tolbert. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so very much for being in the studio with us.
Well, you know that I represent the land that this station's on, right? So West Norton Township goes from around Germantown Pike to the north end. South end, the 422 on-ramp is about the end of the story. The left side of Trooper Road is you're proceeding south, and then up towards Norristown, the borders Forest Avenue, right? So this golf course is actually owned by the township, and you're a tenant of the township.
Well, right? Thank you very much.
And we appreciate having you here in our township.
Well, yes. Well, thank you so very much. And not only that, but not only is he the current commissioner for West Norton, Commissioner Tolbert, How do you pronounce your last name?
Tolbert.
Tolbert. Tolbert. Thank you. For some reason, I have a C over here. Tolbert.
That's because you probably watch Comedy Central.
Is also running for county commissioner for Montgomery County. So we have this opportunity to not only have him representing our township, but the county. Talk to us a little bit about what are some of the issues that you see from the county perspective and what you intend to bring to that.
Sure. So I obviously get around a lot these days. There are 62 municipalities in our county and approximately 816,000 residents. You can literally drive for a very long time, hours in some cases, and I've done that this year, getting from one end of the county to the other. So, for instance, if I were to start in Cheltenham and proceed to Douglas Township, which is by Berks County, depending on the road that I take, it could take an hour and a half to get to do that. And so with all these different municipalities, whether you have municipalities with just a few hundred voters or a municipality like where I grew up in Lower Merion Township that has about 60,000 residents, rather, there are a lot of different issues that different regions of the county consider to be of primary importance. Yesterday, I happened to be a little closer to home. I was in Norristown having lunch with a gentleman who explained to me a program that used to exist that was a training and support program for low and moderate income entrepreneurs. It was called Assets Montco. I would say that basically that's kind of like an incubator, right? So you provide a course of instruction for very small businesses to try to coach them into being successful entrepreneurial endeavors. Now, as is the case in most places, there's not a lot of private sector interest in helping small to medium sized small businesses. And so some of that funding used to be provided by the county. So as recently as 2009, something in the neighborhood of approximately $60,000 of support was provided by Montgomery. In that year alone, 20 private sector jobs were created as a result of that $60,000, right? So there was a fairly substantial impact to the county's support, and some of these businesses were created in economically struggling communities. So if you're dealing with like a Pottstown or a Norristown or, some of the places in our county,
Those jobs made a difference,
mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, I would say as a West Norton commissioner that if you put a job in West Norton, that absolutely makes a difference. But I'll tell you that in a community like a Norristown, having access to support for small business is extremely important to the prospect of revitalism. Well, the county cut off that funding. As a consequence of cutting that funding off, this program no longer.
And why did the county fund it?
Well, you know how it goes with these annual selective appropriations or what they call earmarks. Whether you're talking about this program or you're talking about a program called Camp Rainbow, which is a program for underserved and underprivileged youth to have a 1 week overnight camp experience in places like Schwanksville, Lower Salford, where if the children are coming from a place, again, like Norristown or Pottstown or, some of the struggling parts of our county, you know, we can either take care of them when they're young or we will be complaining about how the system is spending a lot of money to incarcerate when they're older. I would rather try to intervene when the
younger,
child is young.
Right, exactly.
And I'd rather provide the support to some of these communities to further that end. That program is also cut. Now, Camp Rainbow has the capacity with their board to go out there and hold fundraisers and try to make up some of the difference, but they're still hurting to try to raise the money that they used to be able to use for operation expenses. They only spend $267 per child for 1 week of overnight in the summertime. That's extremely efficient. And even with that, I mean, the county said to them, hey, we're getting rid of earmarks. We have to make, strict budget decisions, and we just can't support that. Now, that doesn't jive with their other behavior as a county.
Because I was thinking, I mean, you know, as a conservative, a fiscal conservative, I love the idea of getting rid of certain earmarks,
sure.
right? If you're going to become a better steward, more you use the funds that we have more efficiently to take care of those things that really matter. Now, the two
sure.
programs that you just mentioned, they sound like they really matter.
They really matter. And
they're
then the
providing
other
jobs. They're yeah. providing exposure. So why is it that the county is cutting?
They really matter, one. And two, it's not an example of fiscal conservatism, right? So I am a conservative, period. And so if I were to observe an elimination of earmarks and the money would be better appropriated to some other function that I can say is either just as important or more important or whatever in the list of priorities, okay, I might not like it, but that's the reality mm-hmm. of government in an austere time.
Right.
Instead, and this was in the papers earlier this year, the county decided to pay to put signs at all of the public works around Montgomery County, right? So if you go to the farm park right down the road here off of Whitehall Road, you see a big sign across from Norristown High School that says, you know, Montgomery County Commissioners, with a list of the names of the commissioners underneath it. Cost about $44,000.
Part of the $60,000.
Correct. Now, that would be bad enough as far as I'm concerned. But they misspelled the word commissioners. And they also misspelled one of the names of one of the commissioners on the sign. So they had to redo it all around the county for around $23,000 additional dollars, right? So you have about $67,000 in total for the sign and then the change to the sign.
And to your point, the one of the programs that you're saying they cut cost $60,000, is allocated $60,000.
Correct. Now,
but the signs cost roughly approximately $67,000. So what is the best, I guess your issue is, or your point is, what's the best use of that money?
Correct. And look, to be fair to the current administration, I'm speaking of a program whose appropriation was terminated shortly after 2009. This is a four-year term. So, you know, I know that this program manager, Mr. Williams, did go back to the county recently and asked to be considered for restoration of funding. It wasn't approved of, right? So it's not that the current administration cut this. It's that the current administration had an opportunity to restore this. It is that the current administration cut Camp Rainbow, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a couple of examples where it's not fiscal conservatism if you take the money and proceed to spend it on advertisements for yourself.
For yourself, right. Exactly. Well, guys, stay tuned. We will have the commissioner back with us. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Pope Francis speaks at the White House this morning at an event with 15,000 invited guests, then a meeting with President Obama.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest spoke of the shared values that both men have.
Both men have talked quite publicly about their commitment to social justice, and both men have dedicated their not just their careers, but their lives to that effort.
Earnest said the president and the pontiff will discuss topics ranging from climate change to human rights around the world.
Fox News Radio's John Decker.
Happy birthday to you.
That song is now free to use or sing. A federal judge rules a music publisher's copyright on Happy Birthday to You applies only to certain piano arrangements, not the lyrics. That means no more charging for use in recordings, movies, or TV. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
I give these gospels to people who are homeless or are working in stores. And I also leave a gospel at the doctor's office or barber shop, anywhere they have stuff for people to read. It's nice to see that someone has picked the gospel up and taken it with them, and then I leave another.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
Oh, and when I get gas, I leave one on top of the pump. I've left some at a few payphones, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did, and we were all so proud.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
Welcome back to It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. The call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. If you want to talk to Commissioner Stephen Tolbert, give us a call at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And I do not want to be remiss and not remembering to wish all of my Jewish friends and others who are observing Yom Kippur today, happy fast. I don't know if you could say a happy fast, but I hope you have a successful fasting during this most high, holiest of all days on your calendar. So I do not want to be remiss in forgetting to recognize that. But the commissioner is still in studio with us, and we were talking during the break. And, you know, just for those of us who do not understand the role of the commissioner and how it impacts your table in your kitchen, it comes right down to impacting you at your dinner table. So, Commissioner, kind of help us understand the role of the commissioner and why this role is such an important role in the lives of us.
So I'll say this in the following way in terms of delineation. Most people around these parts are familiar with their local representation, right? So to the degree that you participate in elections, you probably know who your local township or borough officials are, right? So a township commissioner, for instance, here in West Norton, has control over about a $16 million budget and engages in providing for law enforcement, making sure the roads are paved, making sure the snow is shoveled, making sure that zoning ordinances are written appropriately, making sure that you're able to preserve as much open space as you possibly can. So you've got quality of life issues that are really the most impactful of issues that most families interact with on a daily basis. So while most of us may pay attention to what happens in Washington or Harrisburg because that's on television or that's in the newspapers every day, we're inundated with information about that. What we're most likely to complain about is a pothole or the creation of a development in your town that is making it more difficult to get to work or is taking away from your open space that you have, or are your business taxes too high, or is the earned income tax excessive? And frankly, when you talk about something like a school district, are your schools working, right? So those are things that in Pennsylvania, we get to decide every odd year, right? So whether it's part of your Board of Commissioners, like this year, two of our commissioners in West Norton are up. In 2013, the other three were up. That was when I was elected. In an odd year, you get to make those decisions. Now, on a county level, in Montgomery County, there's approximately a $380 million budget. And county commissioners, of which we have three that represent 816,000 people, serve an executive sort of a role, right? So they make sure that the agencies of county government are funded to make sure that our courts are properly funded, that our sheriff's office is funded. But we also have significant infrastructure in Montgomery County. So we have roads and bridges and that sort of thing. But there's also a a coordination role that our executive would have, right? So, for instance, if the state is going to close a road for repair, as has happened numerous times in this part of the county, whether we're talking about Egypt Road or 29 or, you know, 422 or all these other roads where they're under various states of repair and they'll be under repair for the foreseeable future. My idea would be that the county should be working with PennDOT, which is our state authority for transportation, to make sure that these local communities are in the loop so that you don't just wake up one day and you have a detour at the end of your block.
Right.
That you have traffic flows for detours that make sense so you don't have these traffic jams pile up like we had happen all summer. My observation is that there is a clear line of demarcation in terms of coordination. If you live west of 202, you are not getting the sort of consultation from the county that maybe other parts of the county are receiving. And frankly, you can probably also say the same thing if you live north of Route 73, right? So there's a coordination function. Look, the county's doing a whole lot of work this week in anticipation of the Pope's visit, right?
Yes.
So we're asked to provide county resources to help bolster the regional security in preparation for and for the duration of the Pope's visit. There's also a policy function, right? So commissioners can pass, ordinances or through their priorities get to decide things like, hey, we have tens of thousands of veterans in Montgomery County. How do we make sure that they're able to be reintegrated back into our community? We have, you know, county taxes, right? So the decision to reassess property is something that could be determined by a legislative directive of the county, right?
And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation because this affects me right now. I love your analogy of, yes, because from a national perspective as well as from a Harrisburg perspective, we tend to be very inundated with information on that. Who's doing what kind of policies are people contending with? But on a local level, I must admit, it's not something that we tend to pay as close attention to. And yet, it probably has one of the most direct impact on how I live my life and order my life, you know, whether I'm going in one direction or the other, even as you said, with the assessment of taxes and what and the impact that that has on the school system. So the role of the commissioner is a very important role that people should be more informed and astute of.
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, when I see folks out on the street, and it used to be that I was one of the anonymous people that might approach somebody that I think might have a little bit of sway and say to that person, sir, ma'am, could you maybe consider policy X to address problem Y that I see in my neighborhood? Well, as I go around the county and run into people who say, hey, yeah, I know who you are, most of the time the issues that they're approaching me with are absolutely local in nature, right? And I think that people know what issues are issues that are bread and butter issues. You know, we can sit in a bar, a restaurant, or even the living room and have a conversation about how we feel about Washington or Harrisburg. And we certainly have opinions about those things. And to the degree that we're watching horse races with presidential campaigns and, you know, a year and a half ahead of elections, that's something that makes for water cooler talk. People know when government isn't functioning locally. They know it. They know when it's taking too long to remove snow. They know when neighborhoods are not as safe as they once were. They know if more law enforcement is necessary in order to ensure that a neighborhood is properly policed or more community-oriented law enforcement. I'll say that as well. You know, these are issues that, frankly, when I knock on somebody's door, and I've knocked on thousands of doors so far, this year. I was just in Horsham Township and Skipback Township this past weekend. You know, in each one of those townships, you know, there are actually different issues that the residents talk about when you ask them to let you know what issues are impacting
them. They vary depending on what is in their immediate circle.
Well, transportation infrastructure is huge in this part of the county. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. I mean, we have bridges that are literally in a state of disrepair and they have to shut them down. And you create detours that last for several years while the state gets their act together and fixes them. You know, unfortunately, the problem is that when the state makes a decision to close a road, you know, they tell somebody, but how does that information get down to the people so that you wake up in the morning, you go to work and it doesn't take you hours to get to work. Instead, you can find a detour and the detour is a logical one so that traffic patterns are not going to destroy your commute.
Right.
But, you know, for instance, in this part of the county, a huge issue, even something that impacts me here in West Norton, is open space. You know, I believe in West Norton Township, we only have 202 acres of open space left. And in neighboring communities, they just observed the county in Upper Providence Township sell open space that had been a geriatric facility known as Park House to cover operational expense.
And when you say open space, what are you referring to?
So we would call this golf course an example of an open space, mm-hmm. A park.
Undeveloped.
It would be undeveloped or modestly developed land where basically we have access to nature.
Right.
A lot of the west of 202 area is more recently developed. It used to be full of open space, you know, even 20 years ago. And slowly but surely, a lot of these municipalities are losing their open spaces. Well, the county spent several years acquiring open spaces to include the land around the Park House Geriatric Facility. Unfortunately, they spun out of the open space that we owned. We had spent time owning that resource. Now, the county again sold it. But what do they sell it for? They sold it to plug an operating, an operational budget hole, right? Those are issues where, again, on the surface, we might go, hey, we're conservatives. We're fiscal conservatives. We should like the fact that the government has spun out of that. But what did you use it for? You sold an asset to take care of operating expenses. That's not what you're supposed to be
doing.
That's
not good budgeting. Stay with us. I have the commissioner coming back one more time for one more segment. You're listening to It's a New Day. Call us, 610-539-TALK.
I'm Jan McKill, helping you understand the times.
Victory for gay and lesbian couples who have fought so long for their basic civil rights. It's a victory for their children, whose families will now be recognized as equal to any other.
The Supreme Court is on a collision course with God. When a nation uses their administrative power to violate the laws of God, there is only one thing that will happen, and that is judgment. The Bible teaches that God in the last days will allow the desires of humans to rule their courts and their land. The result will be a form of judgment creating confusion, deception, and national disasters. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America will never be the same, and this change in our law will be open season on Christians who oppose it. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
Attention baby boomers, seniors, and caregivers. Plan now to attend the 19th annual Lancaster County 50 Plus Expo, September 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim. Admission and parking are free. More than 100 exhibitors will provide information, door prizes, health screenings, and live entertainment. The 50 Plus Expo will also feature a health and wellness area sponsored by WellSpan Health, flu shots provided by Kmart, and a special presentation from former White House chef John Mueller. Plus, be sure to check out the presentation of RSVP of the Capital Region's Most Valuable Volunteer Award, honoring a senior volunteer in your community. The 50 Plus Expo is brought to you by OLP Events and the Lancaster County Office of Aging. Sponsors include 50 Plus Senior News, Ameriprise Financial, Blue Ridge Communications, WFYL, and others. The Lancaster County 50 Plus Expo, September 23rd at Spooky Nook Sports. For more information, call 717-285-1350 or visit 50plusexpopa.com.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts. Don't miss this limited-time offer. We're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. Call 800-393-6272. That's 800-393-6272.
It's time to begin planning for the holidays. Hi, I'm Dennis Gaiman with Gaiman Design Remodeling. If you recall thinking last year that you need more room before you host Thanksgiving or Christmas this year, now is the time to start planning. Kitchens, bathrooms, room additions, great rooms, tearing down walls, structural improvements, all these kinds of things take time and planning. Contact us at 215-513-0300 or online GaimanRemodeling.com. It's GEHMAN. remodeling.com.
It's hump day. It's hump day, and we're here at in the studio at It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. If you have a question for the commissioner, perhaps even a complaint, I'm sure there is no complaint, call us at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. I so love and appreciate this conversation, Commissioner, in that, I mean, it's a very clear case, and I am so guilty of, I mean, ask me something about what's going on the political, the world stage, on the national, on the world stage. I am all over it. Ask me what's going on out my front door. I have to go fidget and Google who it is I need to talk to. And the case that you're presenting, a very clear case, is that what it is that the commissioner does has an immediate impact on what happens as I walk out my front door and look around in this space in which I live, my children live and grow up in. And if we want to make a difference, we have that opportunity coming up real soon in November, right?
Right, November 3rd. I mean, I am a guy of social media that I'm sure that many of our listeners are as well.
To my husband's chagrin, yes,
right.
I am.
I mean, I'm certainly not as active as I used to be in social media. It's just you don't have time for that. You're out there, you know, trying to take my kid to karate, or we just got her a violin yesterday because she starts violin at school, or, you know, teaching, trying to be a good son, a good brother, right? As well as running for office, as well as serving in office currently, you know, all of those things make it so that it's very difficult to have an extremely active presence, although I do get to see what happens online, right? So to the degree that there's political talk in my universe on social media, 95% of it is about Washington, about presidential election. Now, I'm certainly not going to tell somebody to not have interest in politics. I actually have a few degrees in political science, right? I'm an economist, but you know, I also have a background in politics from an academic perspective. So I'm certainly not going to tell people to not be concerned about other elections. I will say that on November 3rd of this year, we have an election. I will say that we won't be spending $1 billion or more like they'll probably be spending in that federal election that they're going to have in November of 2016. I will say that we will be casting conclusive votes in Pennsylvania on November 3rd when no state will be casting primary votes for who our next president will be until well after that. I understand that we are inundated with information about federal stuff, and I understand that the federal stuff allows somebody from, you know, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, to talk to somebody from Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Seattle, Washington. I understand that allows for all of us to be brought together as a nation to consult with one another as to our choice at that level. But I can say that when your road is not paved, I can say that when your open space is sold, I can say that when your assessments go up, that is happening at your local and county level. And that is going to have a tremendous direct impact on your life. It's not philosophical. It's absolutely applied. And so I would submit that we should closely examine those elections and those participants, those candidates, and really attempt to influence the outcome by coming out to vote, talking to your neighbors. When a politician's knocking on your door, you know, answer the door, right? So that's something else where, you know, we've walked in some of these communities where folks will say, you know, hey, there's no soliciting. Well, I'm not soliciting. I'm actually running for office. And we as members of communities often say that politicians don't listen to us. We're literally trying to come to your door
to
listen
to
you.
Get engaged.
Please say hi to us and give us the biggest complaint you got.
You know, I mean, and I so agree. I spent so much time in another state, spending time at the state capitol and walking the halls and talking to our politicians. And we often tend to complain that those who are elected have this elite mentality as though they are, you know, too above taking instructions or comments from the little people, the ones who, you know, voted them into office. And so the case that you're presenting right now is a very fitting one, in that when you have the opportunity to engage our elected officials, we should take that opportunity.
I mean, in 2013, I can tell you, I moved to West Norton in 2006. So I was not a long-term resident when I ran in 2013. West Norton's a community where, you know, you could live here for 20 years and be a new person in town, right? So I knocked that year because we are at-large elected on 6,851 doors between the end of the primary in May and Election Day in November. So I would literally drive home, you know, from work and not come directly home, drive to a neighborhood. There'd be literature and a street list in the back seat, and I just start knocking on doors. And, you know, in my mind, there was a quota. Hey, you can't come home for the evening until you've talked to 50 voters, or until you've knocked on 75 doors, or until you've, you know, made X number of follow-up visits to houses where folks had had a complaint and you were trying to follow up for them. And I think the voters appreciated that, right? So we wound up being the leading vote getter in that commissioner's race, and we won the race going away by something like 12 points in a very, very hotly contested race. In our county, you know, I've been told by, you know, countless people, hey, why are you bothering to knock on doors? You can't knock on doors to cover the entire county. Well, no, I understand that. We will have a couple hundred thousand people potentially voting on November 3rd. However, I can certainly knock on a lot of doors, and I can certainly use that as a way to leverage my involvement in communities where sometimes it might be a meet and greet. Sometimes it might be door knocking. Sometimes it might be at your train station. Sometimes it might be at your place of worship. I can figure out ways, and we can figure out ways to get to where people are so that we can interact in a two-directional way. It's easier for me to perceive that I can do that through something like social media. But frankly, as I'm finding out, most people who are going to be voting on November 3rd are not engaged in this race on social media. They don't do the, you know, point counterpoint stuff that insiders do to try to compare, well, how's this guy doing versus that guy,
right,
or what?
Exactly.
None of that stuff really has any bearing on what a typical person who will be voting this year will be internalizing as a basis for their decision. You got to go to where the people are. You have to go and listen. You have to assess what you're being told. So there are going to be instances, for instance, where I may disagree with a conclusion that's drawn by somebody that is attempting to lobby me. I think that a straight up politician is going to say, hey, I disagree with you, and here's why. Just because people have opinions doesn't mean that we're always going to see eye to eye. But even if you don't agree with me 100% of the time, I would hope that you would respect that I have the capacity to evaluate information, and that I will create a dialogue with you so that maybe we can come up with some things that we can work collaboratively together.
Let me ask you, why are you doing this? Why are you running for this office?
I found as a township commissioner that roadblocks were in front of me that were most county driven. So whether we're talking about funding for open space, whether we're talking about coordination for our transportation system, I just found that it's better, I can better impact positively the lives of the people of not only West Norton, but the other municipalities in our county by having a leadership role in that coordination and in making sure that we're able to leverage our resources effectively as a region.
Thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, guys.
Luke 21, that when the end draws near, certain unmistakable things would happen. Wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, government persecution of God's people, earthquakes, famines, signs in the skies. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. God's clock of time is quickly advancing, and what he warned his disciples about then is upon us today. Jesus knew these things would be alarming, so he said, "Don't be terrified. Don't worry about being dragged into court. Don't worry about what you'll say. Don't worry that you might lose your life." He promised, "I'll protect your eternal soul. No hair on your head will perish. I'll give you the words to say." Then Christ said, "When other men's hearts fail them for fear, look up, because the Son of Man will come in great power and glory." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, Christian, kneel down in obedience, stand up into the gap for truth, and look up, for his coming is soon.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL, King of Prussia, Philadelphia.
It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. And I'm your host, Kathy Barnett. So excited to be in studio with you guys today. Our call-in number is 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255. Give us a call. In our previous hour, generally what we do every Wednesday is we do a spotlight moment where we spotlight people and organizations that are doing some really wonderful things in the community, and we want to bring those particular people and what it is that they're doing to the forefront, to you, our listener. And so earlier this morning in the first segment, we had Commissioner Stephen Tolbert Jr., who is the current commissioner for West Norton, but he is also running for county commissioner for Montgomery County, and just such a wonderful man, and so very happy to have had the opportunity to meet him and kind of talk with him and get a better understanding of the vital role that the commissioner plays. We have elections coming up November 3rd, and he said that he will have his celebration party going on. We're already speaking celebration party into existence here at Chaps Restaurant here in West Norton. So check him out there. If you want to find out more about him or follow Commissioner Tolbert, you can go to Tolbert for County Commissioner on Facebook. You can like his page. If you want to talk to him, send him some thoughts, some questions, some comments, you can do so by going to S. Tolbert, T-O-L-B as in boy, E-R-T Junior, J-R, at AOL.com. If you're interested in some volunteer opportunities, you know that old adage, the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So if you're looking for some volunteer opportunities, you can once again go to Tolbert for County Commissioner Facebook page and like him there. Then you're able to send a direct message to him. Or you can call him at 610-635-8292. 610-635-8292. And you can get in touch with him and talk about some volunteer opportunities. I think he's a really good guy. I would vote for him if I lived in Montgomery County. So I think you should strongly consider it as well. Now, moving on. And again, here's that call-in number, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. I want to hear, how do you guys feel about the Pope coming in? All of the pomp and circumstance surrounding his first U.S. visit as Pope. Give us a call, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. What do you think about that? What do you think about him coming to the United States for his first ever tour? What do you think about the Pope, period, I guess, in general? But also, what do you think about him coming to Philadelphia this Saturday? I have the Pope's schedule here. He touched down yesterday for his first ever U.S. tour. He's going to have a whirlwind six-day tour that began with a greeting from Obama yesterday. And today, Wednesday, he is a little bit later on, in about an hour from now, he will enter into a welcome ceremony and meet and greet with the President at the White House. And I thought that was so very interesting. Speaking of him meeting the president, you know, leave it to Obama never to miss an opportunity to shove down the throat of political leaders his agenda on homosexuality. I thought that was so very interesting that when the Pope arrives at the White House today, roughly at 9:15 Eastern time, in about an hour from now, President Obama will greet him along with his entourage. That will include many, I'm sure, but also included would be several of those who are against Catholic teaching on the topic of homosexuality. Obama has invited a series, meaning many, a series of individuals who publicly flout the Catholic teaching, including a pro-abortion religious sister, a transgender woman, and the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, along with at least two Catholic gay activists. Also included in that is a teacher that was fired from a Catholic school because parents complained about her and her partner, a female partner. So she was fired from the Catholic school. And so she too will be there in the entourage at the meet and greet with the Pope in about an hour at the White House. I thought it was interesting that one of the invitees, retired Episcopal Bishop Gene Robison, made history by becoming the first openly gay Episcopal bishop in 2003 and subsequently the first to divorce his gay partner in 2014 after having previously separated from his wife of 14 years. He will be there as well as he was also at the 2014 National Prayer Breakfast. Also, Mateo Williamson, a cross-dressing woman, has also received an invitation to the White House for the Pope's visit. Williamson says that though she now thinks of herself as a man, she continues to be attracted to males. And I thought that was interesting because, like, that's a new one for us, right? Right? I mean, like, that's a new one for us. I mean, she's a woman who cross-dresses as a man, thinks of herself as a man, but she's attracted to men. And that causes her to be classified as gay. Wait a minute. She's a woman attracted to men. How does that make her gay? But apparently, because she thinks of herself as a man, although she is still attracted to men, but the very fact that she thinks she's a man allows her to be a part of the gay community. So she is gay, not because she's a woman who likes women, but because she's a woman who thinks she's a man, but really likes men. And as a result, our culture is calling her gay and our president has invited her to meet the Pope. How exciting! Also, I thought it was interesting that though Pope Francis has said that he doesn't believe in judging people, and is ready to welcome anyone in Christ's name, Obama is going to test just how tolerant he is. And I thought that was very interesting because, as I've said on numerous occasions, Satan, I'm going to use bad grammar here, cover the kids' ears, Satan ain't playing with us. He has drawn a line in the sand and he is saying, what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you. I'm going to draw a line in the sand. You're a conservative. Okay, I'm going to test you. You're tolerant. Okay, I'm going to test how tolerant you really are. And that's essentially what is being done. Earlier this month, the Vatican officially prohibited transgender persons from being baptismal godparents. So our president is going to parade all of these various homosexuals and people who are a woman and like men, but is a homosexual nonetheless. He's going to parade all of these people in front of the Pope just to kind of test how tolerant he is, knowing that the Vatican has prohibited transgenderism. Another White House invitee is Sister Simone Campbell. She is a pro-abortion executive director of Social Justice Lobby Network. So it really doesn't matter what you think. It really doesn't matter. You know, this concept of First Amendment, first rights, really doesn't matter. We will do whatever we want to do. Is that gay fraud? I have a question on the air. Is that gay fraud? You're a woman, but you're... And you like men. So you're a woman and you like men, which would generally say you're a heterosexual. But because you think you're a man and you dress like a man, but you still walk around with the anatomy of a female and you like men, but the fact that you think it, is anyone else confused? Give me a call at 610-539-TALK. I guess I'm confused now. Does that qualify me to be? No, by the grace of God, it does not. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. What do you think about that? I mean, because it really doesn't matter what you think anymore. It doesn't matter, you know, this whole concept of First Amendment. Oh my goodness, people start rolling their eyes. I walk around with the First Amendment button on my shirt most days, and you know, people just kind of look and you can see the eye rolling. It's like, yeah, I know you think this is just like some trite little right, you know, but that First Amendment is the first right for a reason. None of the other amendments matter if you don't have securely and firmly planted in the minds of the people as well as our leaders the fact that we have an individual conscience. And although you don't agree with me, you cannot shove it down my throat what it is you want me to believe. And here we have, once again, like he did on his African tour, we have the president coming to another national leader saying, what you gonna do about it? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach, Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
Start your own business today. Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The Be Balanced franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shifts. Visit BeBalancedFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Because I am learning slowly but surely. My hope does not reside in what CNN tells me is the latest round of foolishness. My hope firmly rests in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And it has been a slow process for me to firmly fix my eyes on him and not so much at the world. I always think of Peter walking out onto the water to meet Jesus, and you have the waves and the winds and the bellowing of everything, and it looks so ominous and so scary. free. But as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was able to walk unabated. The moment he took his eyes off Christ and began to look at the ominous situation he found himself in, he started sinking. And so I just want to encourage all of you as you're listening today, do not lose hope. We have a God who is alive and well, and he sits firmly planted on the throne of all things. He sits firmly planted on the throne of time. And none of this foolishness, I mean, I can't even make this level of foolishness up. We were laughing during the break, and my producer asked, now, so this woman who Obama is going to parade in front of the Pope as a transgender man, it's a woman who is a trans, who dresses like a man, so I guess it's transgender man. He's parading her in front of the Pope as a transgender. She is a she who dresses like a man, but she likes men. So it's a woman who likes men, but she's considered gay. And my producer says, so it's a straight gay person? He was asking, now, is this identity theft? Is like gay fraud a double negative? I mean, and we're laughing. Because what can you do? We are firmly planted in a reprobate mind, our culture. They can't think straight. Not all of us. Yeah, they can't think gay either, right? I mean, if you're gay, that means you're a woman who likes to sleep with other women. So she can't even think gay. But we live in a culture who can't even think straight. And yet we have these, I was watching one of Bill Maher. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. And he is so not conservative in any regard. And yet sometimes I humor myself just to see how those from a different perspective think about issues. And they make jokes and they laugh that, you know, the world is great. Why are you conservatives saying the world is falling? I think he was making a joke at the last Republican debate when the majority of the candidates said we need to make America great. America is worse today than it was 6 years ago. And he's like, wait a minute, the world is fine. The sky is not falling. All is well. Christianity is not under attack. The First Amendment is firmly planted and rooted in the hearts of all people. And I'm sitting there thinking, what America are you talking about? What world are you living in? To say a woman who decides to follow the law in Kentucky, i.e. Kim Davis, she's following the law and she's obeying her religious principles. And the fact that she's following the law that is currently on the books, and she's following her own conscience to not assault her conscience by doing something she believes is a sin, she gets thrown into prison. Not just thrown into prison, although that would be bad enough, but thrown into solitary confinement. I'm going to break your back. And yet we have a public that says, oh no, Christianity is not under fire. Oh no, the First Amendment is firmly rooted and planted. There's no issues. And I mean, it just makes no sense, right? And so anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, that like usual, our president, you know, like clockwork, never fails on the opportunity to shove the homosexual agenda down our throats, and even down the throats of what some circles believe is, you know, one of the highest offices of religion, the Pope. I don't believe that, but there are many of my fellow Catholic friends who would believe that. And yet our president is taking that opportunity. So nonetheless, the Pope is going to go. He will be in Washington, D.C. this morning at 9:15. He's already in Washington, D.C., but he will be greeting the president with his entourage of people, to include a series of those who are in the homosexual community and one who thinks she is, but we're not quite sure. So the debate is open on that. Thursday, the Pope will be also another precedented moment. I believe he's the first Pope who will be addressing address the Congress, the United States Congress. So that will be very interesting. That's going to be aired. So look at your television. Go ahead and record it. I think it'll be interesting to see what topic the Pope is going to bring before one of the most powerful bodies of people, and that is the United States Congress. So let's see what is on the forefront of the Pope's heart that he will be bringing before the people. But oh, wait, you don't probably don't have to wait, because we already know on Friday he's going to go to another very powerful body of people for the world, and that is the United Nations. The Pope will be addressing the United Nations on Friday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, and he will offer an encyclical. For those who do not know, like I did not until a Catholic friend told me, it's a letter sent to all bishops of the Roman Catholic Church. So the bishop, the Pope, will be going before the United Nations to address one of the most powerful bodies of people on what is the most important thing that the world, do we have some type of ominous music to go with that? What the world should be focused on. And what is it? What's the most important topic on the Pope's heart that the world needs to focus on? Okay, Russell, you have... No, it's too late. Thank you for that. Climate change. Dun, dun, dun. That's what is the most important topic that the world must focus on, that the religious leader of the world that most believe is the pinnacle of the religious community is coming before the United Nations to the most powerful body, one of the most powerful bodies of people in the world. And what is the Pope going to talk about? Climate change. That's right, folks. Climate. That's what he's going to talk. And that letter on climate change is going to travel the globe to all of the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church. What do y'all think about that? 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. While at the UN, he's going to talk about climate change is real and caused primarily by human activity. That's a quote from his Laudato Si. From his Praise Be document that he wrote, he is going to pull from that, and I quote, that climate change is real and it is caused primarily by human activity. Now, we have immigration crisis, a huge immigration crisis in Europe because of hundreds of thousands of desperate refugees fleeing ISIS. But he's going to talk about climate change. We'll be right back. It's a new day. See you in a minute.
Right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Pope Francis spent his first night in the United States at the Vatican Embassy in Washington. He leaves for the White House in a few minutes with a packed day ahead.
The pontiff is due at the Executive Mansion for a morning ceremony on the South Lawn before meeting privately with President Obama. Later, Francis will lead a parade past the National Mall and celebrate Mass at D.C.'s National Basilica.
Fox's Kelly Wright. The Pope speaks to Congress tomorrow, then heads to New York City and Philadelphia. The New York Yankees Baseball Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra has died.
Yogi was a 15-time All-Star, a 10-time World Series champion, and a 3-time league MVP. Berra also has a special place in America's vernacular, quoted more often than most poets. Phrases like, it ain't over till it's over.
Fox's Brian Kilmeade. Yogi Berra was 90. He served in the Navy during World War II. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Our daily lives are a series of choices. Each day, we choose how we will spend our time, our treasure, and our talents. Rather than spending, wouldn't it be better to invest our time, talents, and resources?
These choices will never earn our way into heaven, but our day-to-day choices can have a significant and long-lasting impact on our lives, our families, our churches, and the advancement of His kingdom. I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. It is our company goal to serve others by using our gifts and talents every day to help you be a wise steward of God's provision.
If you need discernment with your retirement and inheritance planning, call MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999.
MFB Wealth Management 215-723-8999 on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA SIPC.
Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And for the second year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace user, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
We're back to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL with your host, Kathy Barnett. The call-in number is 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. What are your thoughts on the Pope? Let me round out my conversation with the Pope, because I've already told you with the suspense music and everything that the Pope is going to be addressing the U.S. Congress on tomorrow, and he's also going to be addressing the United Nations on Friday morning. And what is he going to talk to these two, probably the two most powerful body of people in the world? What is he going to talk about? Climate change. You're getting so much better with the music, Russell. Let me just tell you, the music and the timing, you're getting so much better. Thank you so much. But I mean, you know, you make it a joke because what do you do? Do you cry or do you just make some levity out of it? But nonetheless, while at the UN, he's going to be talking about that climate change is real and caused primarily by human activity. And I was just thinking as I was reading this, but what about, I mean, I am inundated with the images. If you're on social media, you're inundated with the images of these Syrian refugees that don't look really like refugees. They look really healthy, but let's just say what the media is telling us, mainstream media is telling us, these are Syrian refugees. And there are a number of Syrian refugees that are running, fleeing for their lives because of ISIS. They're running out of Syria. Hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees. I was just watching last night. It's a fight at the borders of Europe, and they're trying to decide who's going to get how many. France going to get so many. Germany going to get so many. Europe, Britain's going to get so many. And these people are fleeing for their lives because of the atrocities of ISIS. ISIS is burning people literally alive. In a cage, putting it on camera, and then mass producing it, pushing it through social media. But what's the issue that we're going to talk about? Climate change. I'm cracking up. Climate change. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about climate change. We're not going to talk about Syria. We're not going to talk about the Iranian deal. We're not even going to talk about, we're going to just play nice even on the United Nations raising the flag of Palestinians, you know, Palestine, because they want a two-state Israel. And they're raising the flag. They're bringing them to the table. They're already there, but kind of like as a guest. But now they're they're going to get the recognition of a body of people, of a viable state. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about Israel. We're not going to talk about the Iranian deal. We're not going to talk about the Assyrian people, the refugees fleeing. We're not going to talk about ISIS and their threat on any freedom-loving country and burning people alive, the barbaric nature of that. No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about instead something that is near and dear to my heart, climate change. That's what we're going to talk about because that outranks everything. Pause. Pause for that. Think about that for a minute. We're not going to talk about Christians being thrown into prisons in America, placed in solitary confinement. Nope. Not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about the ravages of debt and deficit that is destroying the nation, every nation that gets entangled in it. Nope, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about a nuclear North Korea. Nope, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about communist China and how they're doing cyber, massive cyber attacks throughout the world. Nope, not going to talk about that. Instead, we're going to talk about climate change. That's what we're going to talk about. I don't know. I heard someone say this Pope isn't acting very popish. I don't know. I mean, you're talking, I mean, he's the moral leader, quote unquote, for many in our world. A moral leader. And instead, he's talking about no music this time. But nonetheless, after he gives these riveting, heart-throbbing, heartfelt speeches at both the Congress and the United Nations, then he will turn his attention to flying here to Philadelphia. And that's all people really care about. It's party time. So exciting. All the people are there. Whoop, whoop. That's what we're going to be doing on Saturday in Philadelphia, and he will give a huge mass outdoor at for the conclusion of the World Meeting of Families at the Benjamin Franklin Parkway on Sunday, and then he will be leaving the party, going back to Rome. So that is the agenda for the Pope. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, it's just very interesting, the different things that are going on. So you heard it here, the Pope's schedule and the things he will be doing. You can tune in to see most of this, I'm sure, on television. I'm sure someone is recording it. So you will get all of that. It's going to be really interesting. I cannot wait to see the Pope's face as Obama thrusts in front of him every homosexual he can find and put him right in front of the Pope's face, and let's just see how tolerant you really are. It lacks all sorts of decorum on our president's part, but I mean, I don't think he's a man of decorum anyway, since July 26th when the Supreme Court gave their opinion that same-sex marriage is legal. Our president lit our White House up in a rainbow flag. And I think it's really interesting because to this day, I ask people all the time, what percentage of the population of America do you believe personally identify with the homosexual agenda? And I just pause and I get the number of 25%, 50%, someone says 75%. But generally, the number I get is between 25 and 35% of the population. So most Americans, the typical American, believe that the population of Americans who personally identify with the homosexual agenda ranges between 25 and 35%. And I asked that question because Gallup polls took a poll earlier this year asking that same question. And they too came up with the majority of Americans. After polling millions of Americans, the majority of Americans believe that the population that personally identify as being a homosexual is 25%. The actual number, 3%. And that's on the high end. Other numbers say 1.5%. But we're just going to give them the high end of that. 3% of the American, 3% of over 3 million people personally identify with being a homosexual. And yet, in our culture, we're so inundated from the White House down to the schoolhouse, down to your neighbor's house. That's all we hear. That's all they're talking about. It's on every billboard. You're going shopping, you're checking out at Walmart, look to your left or to the right, and you're inundated with someone coming out as being gay on the cover of a magazine right there in your face. You turn on television every second, used to be every third, every other commercial is applauding or affirming homosexuality. Disney, applauding and affirming homosexuality. The schools you're teaching, applauding and affirming homosexuality. Our Congress, our Supreme Court, everyone is applauding and affirming homosexuality. So in the minds of most Americans, an overwhelming majority or a large percentage of our population considers themselves to be gay. And in fact, it's not. It's 3%. At best, 3% of our population. Just wanted to put that out there. So anyway, that's that. And moving on. Is it a cock? Is it a bomb? Wait, it's super. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know what it is. Let me correct that. Every thinking American knows what it is. Every thinking person knows what it is. Every Muslim knows what it is. But the White House, the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and Microsoft leadership don't know. Or at least they say, looks like a clock to me. Have you guys seen the picture? Give me a call, 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Have you seen the quote-unquote clock that Ahmed Mohammed brought to school? Not just did he bring it to school, but he brought it and sat it in front of every teacher for 6 classes. So he took that quote-unquote clock slash bomb, big briefcase, pencil box, and placed it on the desk of 6 teachers. And it wasn't until he got to the 6th teacher who said, I'm uncomfortable with your pencil box slash briefcase clock slash looks like a bomb to me. Put it away. And then, so it took, I mean, I, as a parent, I would be upset. I would be upset that it took 6 different classes before someone decided to pull their heads out of the sand and say, wait a minute, that doesn't look like a clock to me. We'll be right back. Give us a call.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, one of the many voices of News Talk 1180 WFYL AM on your radio dial. Streaming worldwide online 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a WFYL advertiser. We provide quality programming with local and national hosts, expert political commentators who cover a wide variety of topics about local and national issues of the day. If you'd like to attract more business, more clients, or more customers, try advertising with us. Write to us. info@1180WFYL.com or call us at the station 610-539-1783. That's 610-539-1783 or by email at info@1180WFYL.com. Find out more about us and listen online anytime at 1180WFYL.com. King of Prussia, Philadelphia. To protect freedom of speech, God bless America.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
It's a New Day with Kathy Barnett on 1180 WFYL. Call in number 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We're rounding out our time together, so I want to hear your voice on this. Is it a clock or is it a bomb? I mean, depending on who you are, you know, if you have a brain that functions, it's a bomb or it looks very much like a bomb. If you're trying to be politically correct or you're in a position to try to change what we know to be true, then it could be a clock to you. In fact, my the young boy, Ahmad, he has received, I was looking the other day, he received a ton of free gifts from Microsoft, everything imaginable. He got an invitation to the White House. Obama weighed in personally on Twitter saying, "Hey, Ahmad, cool clock." Yeah, exactly. "Hey, Ahmad, cool clock. You want to bring it to the White House?" Yes. So, yes, he's always coming there. Mark Zuckerberg called him and asked about it. Who's the owner of the Mavs in Texas? Oh, my goodness. I have a guy in the studio who does not know. If I brought my son in, he would tell me, but he's not here. Nonetheless, the owner of the basketball team in Texas, the Dallas Mavs, called the boy, called Ahmad and talked to him about it. And yeah, it's really crazy. It is really, really crazy. But here's the thing. The moment I saw this and started finding out information about it, my first thought was, here we go again. This clock / bomb is the same as those darn gay wedding cakes, because they didn't really want a wedding cake. Those who came in and asking very select Christian owners to make them a wedding cake for their same-sex union, they didn't really go in, the majority, they did not go in with the purpose of, I really want a cake and only from your shop. I don't want it from any other shop. I just want it from your shop. Or those who went to, whom they knew were gay, wedding photographer, Christian video photographers. They specifically targeted those particular people. Those who make wedding cakes that they knew were Christian. They specifically targeted them, not because that was the only photographer in the city. No, it went beyond that. Not because your bakery makes the best cakes and I only want your cakes. No, it wasn't about that. It's beyond that. It's about, you are going to bend to my will. You're going to affirm me, and I will make you, because I will get the laws changed in such a manner. I will bring media with me, like the two gay men who wanted Kim Davis to provide them with a marriage license. They live in Ohio, and they passed every other county clerk's office between Ohio, driving all the way to Kentucky, not because they can only get a marriage license from Kentucky. Nope. I have a point to make. I have an agenda on mine, and I'm going to force you to do what I tell you to do. Get that? Okay. This is the same thing. It's not a gay cake this time. It's not gay people, but it's Muslims. And what is their agenda? Islamophobia. Islamophobia. You're judging us. You're persecuting us. You're being racist towards us. I know we're responsible for 9/11. However, in schools today, if you read your children's history books, it wasn't Muslim terrorists. It was foreigners who flew planes into the towers, the Twin Towers. I know. You know, I was saying to someone, every Muslim does not take bombs into schoolhouses to blow up little children. We know that. Every Muslim does not do that. But every bomb that has gone off in a schoolhouse was brought there by a Muslim. Do you get the distinction? We're not saying every Muslim brings bombs into schoolhouses to blow up little kids, but who would really attest to the fact that when it does happen, where does our mind first shift? And does our mind shift to a Muslim bringing a bomb into a schoolhouse or a bomb into on a bus or a bomb into a building or a bomb onto a plane? Does our mind shift there because we have no experiences of Muslims doing that, or those who are sympathetic towards the Muslim agenda of Islamification or the Quran? Do our minds shift there for no reason? Now, I'm black. I don't know if you know that. But if I see, and I grew up in the very deep South, and my experience tells me if I see someone kind of looking like a skinhead with a rebel truck and flag flying and looking kind of angry, and I need to cross the street. But my experience also tells me if I'm on a not so nice side of Chicago, the murder capital of the world, and a black man is walking towards me, looking a little thuggish, book pants sagging a little bit too much, kind of case sizing me up. Experience tells me, walk to the other side of the street. But what we are experiencing in our culture is, I don't care what your experience tells you. I don't care what your eyes are even telling you. You will flush it down the toilet and you will say the emperor has clothes. The emperor is not naked. The emperor has clothes. You will do it. You will applaud. You will pretend that your eyes are not seeing what they're seeing, and you will say what we want you to say. Although everything within all of us recognizes that a little Muslim boy bringing something that is very tacky, it does not look technologically advanced and clean at all. It looks like a briefcase that they are calling a pencil box. It looks like a briefcase with some wires, ragged wires kind of thrown in and out with this computer board. I don't even know what you call it. It's a clock. And mind you, the clock is not counting like we would normally see a clock counting. It's counting down. It's not counting up. It's counting down.
That doesn't
really with this little Muslim boy.
Not at all.
And then when you bring him into the room to ask him questions, he clams up and you say, well, what is it? It's a clock. Well, how did you make it? It's a clock. Well, what does it do? It's a clock. And now on YouTube videos, he's like, oh, you know, he had the gift for gab there. So let me just leave you guys with this. Ben Carson, he made a statement earlier this week that no Muslim should be elected president. And everyone from Carly to Trump are all weighing in. And I loved what Carson said. He said in a statement on Facebook that he made, he laughed and said, those Republicans that take issue with my position are amazing. He says, under Islamic law, homosexuals, men and women alike, must be killed. Women must be subservient. And people following other religions must be killed. I know that there are many peaceful Muslims who do not adhere to these beliefs, but until these tenets are fully renounced, I cannot advocate any Muslim candidate for president. What don't you understand about that, American people? He's right. God bless. See you next week.
Jesus taught his disciples in Luke 21 that when the end draws near, certain unmistakable things would happen. Wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, government persecution of God's people, earthquakes, famines, signs in the sky. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. God's clock of time is quickly advancing, and what he warned his disciples about then is upon us today. Jesus knew these things would be alarming, so he said, don't be terrified. Don't worry about being drug into court. court. Don't worry about what you'll say. Don't worry that you might lose your life. He promised, I'll protect your eternal soul. No hair on your head will perish. I'll give you the words to say. Then Christ said, when other men's hearts fail them for fear, look up, because the Son of Man will come in great power and glory. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, Christian, kneel down in obedience, stand up into the gap for truth, and look up, for His coming is soon.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Live.